Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of stuff there to unpack, as they say, and nobody better to do it with than Jim Cott, the Hall of Fame left-handed pitcher and broadcaster extraordinaire, joins us from Florida. Jim, thank you for joining us. Were you surprised at all that it went this long, or were you more surprised that a deal got done today?
I was more surprised that it took this long, and I was more relieved than doing handstands because, You know, I don't know why it takes both sides this long to understand they're never going to get everything they want,
yep,
each side. And they have to know that going in. And I think when Rob Manfred, in fact, I talked to Rob about, I think when he called the lockout, thought it would probably motivate players to say, hey, we want to get contracts. We know we want to know where we're playing. So, you know, is the international draft that big a deal to stop the, you know, stop the season, things like that? They have to start looking at that back in December and say, if you ask for six things and you get three, you probably ought to be happy. That's what negotiations are all about. So I'm glad they got it done. I wish they had done it sooner. And I've received so many calls of joy from fans, and that's what I'm happy about, that the fans were really taking the short end of this.
Yeah, they just want to see baseball, obviously, you know, and
right,
and get
yeah.
it done and let's go play, right? I mean, and right, especially right now with all we've been, this is the third spring training that's been impeded, you know, either by COVID or now a work stoppage. But
yeah.
Now we've got a free agent frenzy coming. What happens next, do you think, Jim? Are guys going to get overpaid? What can the Twins do here?
You know, I really don't know. I don't know what the dollars are going to be for. I mean, I would be kind of disappointed if Freddie Freeman left Atlanta. That's like, you know, Kirby or one of the longtime Twins mainstays like Tony leaving Minnesota. And then, of course, Correa, he's in the mix there. So I really don't know how to read the free agent market. Actually, what's more important to me than things like that are, what are we going to do about making the game on the field more appealing?
Yep.
Because all the attention has been on these negotiations.
Yep.
And yet we keep talking about a game that's taking, you know, so much longer to play than necessary because there's too much dead time of no entertainment. And people that have never played, meaning the guys upstairs like at Park Avenue, they're coming up with all these rules like pitch clocks and things that they think are going to do it. Well, you know, that we don't need to. I talked to Whitey Herzog recently in St. Louis. He said, quit messing with the rules. I said, yeah, if they just left the game alone and shortened it to seven innings and didn't allow you to carry more than 9 or 10 pitchers, we'd have a better quality of ball. And I think the game would, you know, people leave after 2.5 hours anyway.
Yes.
So those are kind of my my old school thoughts.
Well, they went back to the 2-9 innings on a doubleheader, and they're not going to start a player at second base, I understand, you know, for the extra innings. Did that surprise you?
Nothing surprises me when into this give and take, you know. I can't keep track of it all. They want to make the bases bigger, you know.
Yep.
At one time, they were going to move the mound back 6 feet. I said, man, you know, just leave the game alone, and if it's too boring and takes too long, there's two really simple solutions to it, but they'll never do that, and that's deaden the ball and regulate the bat.
Yep.
But I, quite frankly, I think, I don't know if you polled every fan. I hear those that say, I don't care if it takes 3.5, 4 hours, and I love to see a lot of home runs. Is that what the modern fan wants? I'll give you a quote from my 25-year-old grandson who loved playing Little League Baseball. And he said, I'm tired of the game getting run into the ground by analytics and the people upstairs, the metrics department. He said, there is nothing in the game today that provides excitement for me and our young generation. That's from a 25-year-old college graduate who loved baseball and still does. But he's not happy with the game on the field. So is he the exception or the rule? I don't know if we know the answer to that.
Do you think these players are going to get an ample spring training here to be ready for the regular season? Is everybody in such good shape that that shouldn't matter much?
I think so. I mean, spring training was longer in my era because we worked in the off season, so we actually came to spring training to get in shape. And now players are working out in the off season, so mainly what they need is at-bats against live pitching, and pitchers need to pitch innings, and that really doesn't take that long. I mean, I know from being a starter, I would say I'd pitch three innings. 2 days later, I'd pitch three more. Then I'd get 3 days off, pitch five, then seven. And by opening day, you hoped you were ready to pitch nine. Now, today, you don't
wow.
have to do that because, you know, if you can just pitch five or six, you're fine because – you know, they're power pitchers and they're trained differently, but I think these guys will all be ready.
You know, Jim, the Twins are going to have to figure out something with their starting rotation with Jose Barrios being traded and Kenta Maeda sitting with Tommy John surgery. I don't know. I mean, the auditions of kids last year that were okay, not overwhelming, that looks like a tough rotation to build from where I sit right here.
Yeah, it is. I think most staffs that are successful teams. I go back to our 82 Cardinal team. We're going to celebrate our 40th reunion this year, winning the World Series. We hit 67 home runs as a team, stole 200 bases, and Whitey Herzog put together our pitching staff from the ninth inning back. And so today's game, you know, your bullpen has suddenly become more important almost than your rotation. You'd like to have, you know, an ace, a number one guy. I think Joe Ryan has a chance to be that guy. You'd like to have a number one guy, but a lot of teams don't have that, and they just have on the major league level average starters. But if you have a good team of pitchers from the sixth inning on, you're still going to be competitive and win a lot of games.
Hall of Famer Jim Cott is our guest as the Twins now embrace on a season. Major League Baseball has an agreement. Dave St. Peter will join us at 7:35 as well and tell you what you need to know from a fan's perspective going into this season and when the games will be played, et cetera. Jim, this is just a personal off the, but when you transformed from a starting pitcher to a relief pitcher, and maybe you're going into a series and you're looking at who's on the other team and who the left-handers are and, you know, when that key at bat might come up, all those things. Is that difficult or not?
I think it's an adjustment, but I think the biggest challenge is when you come in as a reliever and you haven't done it before, the tendency is to the old go as hard as you can, as long as you can, and you have a tendency to want to overthrow instead of just pitch. And so that was the first adjustment. And then your role is pretty well dictated by the manager. Like Whitey Herzog said to me, I want you to be my lefty-lefty guy. So if we're playing the Pirates, I'm going to look at Willie Stargell and Dave Parker. And when it gets to the sixth or seventh inning, you look at the batting order and you say, well, mentally, I got to start preparing because if the situation comes up, those are the guys I'm going to have to pitch against. And you know, you might do that 2-3 days in a row and then you get a day off, but nothing surprises you if you're thinking it out ahead of time of who they have on the other team that you might have to face.
I don't, again, I'm off the beaten path here a little bit, but I'm always fascinated by it because I just saw a documentary on Dave Parker. In his prime, was he as good as there was in baseball? Did he have a few years there where he was the best?
Boy, he was something special. I crossed paths with him in when I coached for Pete Rose in Cincinnati during the end of his career. But, he was one of those, you know, many players that in the voting just gets, like my friends, the Shalen brothers wrote a book years ago about Hall of Famers, and I was one of the ones in the book out by a step. And thankfully, the Veterans Committee was kind to me this year, so I'm no longer out by a step. But Dave Parker and Dick Allen, who will get in due time, you know, there are a lot of players like that are just on the cusp. And the Cobra was quite a force in his, you know, I want to say maybe five or six really dominant years.
Yeah, it's just fun now that we're past this lockout that we can talk about players and people and things like that. Have you had a chance to tour Cooperstown yet? I know you've been there before, but I know Tony got the official tour. Did you do that?
I'm doing mine in May when I get up to Vermont. We got kind of COVIDed out of the one we were going to do in January, which was okay because we'd have been snowed in there.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, I have been. I first went to the Hall of Fame with my college roommate in 1956, and then my first Hall of Fame game that I was there for with the Twins was 66 when Casey Stengel and Ted Williams got inducted. And then I went to Harmon's and several others. So I've been there many, many times, and obviously this one will be special, and I'm looking forward to my orientation time.
Well, how old that hit you when they say your plaque goes here?
I really don't know. Yeah. You know, I kind of fantasize about it. You know what I said? This is pure fantasy, but I'm saying, oh, would it be cool if my plaque was right next to Lefty Groves? Because he is the player that my dad drove to Cooperstown in 1947 to see Lefty's induction. That was his favorite player. So, well, that's not going to happen. But, you know, I'll be happy if it's in the restroom.
and now you know, you're not going to have any problem with this. But you got a speech to write.
Yeah, I've been working on it and tweaking it. And, you know, the big challenge today, I saw Harmon's the other day, which was so well delivered, as you'd expect. I was there for that. But I think now we have six of us going in. So it's important to edit it down and not drag it out too long, because, you know, people will sit there for 3.5-4 hours. And, so you want to thank the right people, but you have to be concise and get in and out just like you were game on television. So I've been going over, obviously, the most of my time will be spent on my dad and on Jack McKeon, who was a minor league manager for me, and Bobby Shantz, who was my boyhood idol. And then I have others to thank as well. But I'll get it down. I think I've got it down to about 12 minutes.
Perfect. Last question. You're going to be at Twin Spring Training at all this year?
I won't be at spring training. You know, no, I hope to be at opening day. We've been traveling around quite a bit this winter, so right now I'm in South Carolina.
Okay.
And don't plan to be back to Florida until early April. Unless I'm called to be to spring training, I can certainly get there in a hurry, but I have no plans right now to go there.
Well, you don't have to work on those pitchers hitting anymore like you could do so well, because the DH is going to the National League.
Well, I don't mind that they're not hitting, because they haven't even hit in the Little League, so I can't blame them for that, but I just wish they'd work on their fielding so nobody gets hurt badly. There's too many of them aren't in position to field the ball coming back at them.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, always a pleasure. It's so fun to at least start to transition into, you know, talking about the game instead of the work stoppage. So thank you for giving us some time, as always. Really appreciate your perspective.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. It is good to be talking about the game again.
Absolutely. Jim Cott, the Hall of Famer.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.